Welcome to The Beat, a podcast series from the cops office at the Department of Justice, featuring interviews with experts from a varied field of disciplines. The Beat provides law enforcement with the latest developments and trending topics in community policing. Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Beat. I'm Jennifer Donnellan. Today, we are going to be discussing the Arlington Restaurant Initiative, and joining me is Master Police Officer Demetrius Mastoris. And I have to make sure I get that name right, or people are going to call in if that was even possible. Master Police Officer Mastoris, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And I got that right.
You sure did.
Absolutely. Okay, great.
It was great. It was perfect.
Thank you so much. All right, let's talk about the Arlington Restaurant Initiative. This was started as a means to proactively address the underlying issues of alcohol-related harm and disorder in the Clarendon Nightlife District of Arlington, Virginia. Now, the Clarendon neighborhood is a mixed residential and commercial area. It's home to many of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan region's most popular restaurants and pubs. It's estimated that anywhere between 5,500 and 7,000 patrons visit Clarendon every Friday and Saturday night. So it's quite busy, very popular. And the nightlife scene in Clarendon has been growing. And as it grew, Arlington County Police had to get creative with their strategies. And this is what they came up with. So before we go on, I think it's really important that I mention that the Arlington County Police Department entered into a partnership with the cops office to bring attention to these new innovative practices, which we're going to get to in just a moment, and that they've shared this restaurant initiative actually as part of a toolkit. It's a toolkit for the cops office, and the toolkit is available on the cops website so that the lessons learned by the Arlington County Police Department can benefit other law enforcement agencies that may be interested in establishing a similar initiative. And I'm always a fan of learning from other people so that I don't have to go through those mistakes and growing pains, quite frankly, right?
Right.
So let's set the scene. Describe for our listeners Clarendon, Virginia. This is nightlife in a compact area.
That's right. So Clarendon is a neighborhood. It's an area within the county. It's a 6 to 8 block area of, you have a mix of residential, commercial, and businesses such as restaurants. During the day, we have a lot of government workers, a vibrant food scene, and a lot of office workers. But once the sun goes down and happy hour starts, a lot of these restaurants turn into nightlife establishments or traditional nightlife establishments, meaning they remove their furniture and allow for more capacity, and their main goal is to serve an increase in alcohol during those times. So 5 to 7, we start seeing the influx on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights, like most jurisdictions. And then after 9, 10 o'clock, we start seeing max capacities where people are coming in the door one for one. We have roughly between, at this point, 16, 18 restaurants that are continuously engaged in nightlife. And when we say that, we mean that operate between 9 p.m. and 3 a.m., have an alcohol license where they serve a large amount or a large portion of alcohol during that time, and have a live entertainment permit through the county so they're able to run bands or have a DJ.
16 to 18 nightlife establishments in a 6 to 8 block radius.
Right. It can fluctuate, week to week. You have some restaurants that will focus in on one specific day, only on Saturday nights, like, for instance, the Clarendon Ballroom. They do a lot of catering. So some nights they're open and they're packed because they have live entertainment, but other nights they're closed for a venue for a...
And we're not talking about the baby boomers. We're talking about the freshly 21.
That's right. We're talking the rite of passage. Either just turned 21, and you look at that crowd, it's, we expect it to be between 21 and 25, but we do see a lot of people who are underage. And because of the work we've done, a lot more of them are being identified and never have a chance to come in and cause any real harm to themselves.
So let's start with you. How long have you been a police officer?
I've been a police officer for 22 years in Arlington County. I've spent a majority of my career working the road, I've been a field training officer and a certified instructor through the state, and most of my time has been spent on the midnight patrol. So I've watched Arlington County grow. I've watched nightlife grow from its infancy back in the late 90s, early 2000s. That being said, the amount of resources and the amount of time that we spend has grown every single year. And it got to a tipping point where we knew something had to change. it's funny how we met and how this project began, because it was through a COPS office initiative, which is Coffee with a Cop, that I happened to meet staff from the COPS office who said, what do you do? And, you know, what are you involved in? I said, and we just started this brand new program that I've been given autonomy to create from Chief JFAR. And they said, run with it.
So you work the midnight shift. Midnights is where all the action is. We all know that. Sounds to me like you're spending a lot of time on midnight shifts in that nightlife area.
Right. We saw a high level of alcohol-related harm, specifically violence, attached to that. We malicious woundings. We saw assault by mob. There were nights I can remember where we had 20, 30 people fighting in the Clarendon Park area at closing time. We would swamp the area. We did not have the assets. We did not have the resources available to staff this on a regular basis. And here we were, just trying to figure out, you know, best we could every single night. We dreaded it. When dealing with the restaurants, we would make, some of the suggestions. We'd say, we need you to change this or we need you to change that. But there was no incentive on the restaurant's part to change because we did not have devoted resources to help them.
So you don't have devoted resources to that, for that.
And our answer was enforcement.
Your answer had to be enforcement because the bad things were happening right in front of you and you had to respond to it.
That's right. So meeting that safety component first and essentially restoring order. But the other part of that was we had the community policing teams were overwhelmed. So 2013, 2014, then Captain Penn, now Deputy Chief Andy Penn, put community policing officers there as part of their regular shift on the weekend and said, you know, we want you to just keep an eye. They started providing some basic level responsible alcohol service. But because of the nature of our profession, people don't stay in units. They don't stay in assignments too long. And just as you start to get to know people, off you go to the next assignment, right? You either get promoted or you want to go to the next unit. And all those relationships, all that work essentially is completely removed. And you're starting over. You're starting from scratch. So the next community policing officer is coming in. Hi, I'm Jim. I want to, you know, work with you. Why do I want to work with you if I'm a restaurant owner, a manager, or security? There's no opportunity for trust to be built. And that's where I saw an opportunity because we were tired. We were staffing in the summer of 2015. We were staffing on Fridays and Saturday nights, 20 officers down there a night.
Let's paint the picture of Clarendon. How many bars roughly in what sort of concentrated area?
So we're talking a 6 to 8 block area. And at that point, we were roughly between 13 and 16 restaurants that were routinely participating in nightlife. And when I say that, I mean they're operating between 9 and 3. They have live entertainment. They're removing furniture to allow maximum capacity to come in. And they're serving a high level of alcohol. That's their goal between 9 p.m. and 2 a.m. when they close, or 1:30 or 1:45. For last call, majority of their sales are coming from alcohol. You see a lot of restaurants that try to make up that difference by serving brunch on Sundays to make up their food ratios. So, you know, you have that many restaurants that are now participating. We watched this grow from, like I said, the late 90s when you had maybe 2 or 3 restaurants in Clarendon. It was Clarendon Grill, you had Clarendon Ballroom, you had Mr. Days that started when they came over from D.C., and that was really it. We showed up at closing time, everyone went home, not too many problems. When you start adding 10, 12, 13 restaurants that are participating in that level of service to that many people, it's a recipe for disaster. And then on top of it, we had no coordinated response. We're just winging it.
The clientele, too, was pretty specific, too, because you had a very young clientele.
That's right.
You didn't have 30, 40-somethings coming there. You had the 21, I just got my legal age limit driver's license. I'm coming in, I'm drinking legally, and I'm drinking a lot of alcohol. And there were just tons of them. So to have, 13 to 16 bars and 6 to 8 blocks with 20 officers on a Friday night and a Saturday night completely dedicated to that in a city that's how large? What's your service area?
So the county is 26 square miles. We have a population of just over 250,000. It swells during the week. With all the federal government, we can get as high as 350, 400,000. But we have, at that point, I think we were roughly at 319, 320 sworn.
And 20 of those officers are...
That's
directly
right. And,
just
and,
focused on...
and those were being incrementally added. And when you talk about 21-year-olds, we had a lot of underage drinking going on as well because of the fake IDs. It was rampant. We kind of talk about Clarendon pre up till 2015, 2016 is kind of being the Wild West. It was just anything goes. anything goes, because frankly, we didn't know what we were doing other than just responding to a symptom. So we got to the point where officers were fatigued after the summer of 15, heading into the fall, and then finally winter of 16, January, February, officers were done. Our overtime detail for Clarendon was being staffed primarily by overtime officers. So if nobody signs up, then no one works it. You are guaranteed, almost guaranteed an arrest. Work in the Clarendon detail. You are guaranteed to have to now have to take care of, you know, we have a community caretaker. We do not want to arrest people for drunk in public. It's the last thing we want to do. I don't want to now babysit somebody who cannot take care of themselves because of intoxication for the next 2 to 3 hours and sometimes longer. That being said, we try everything we possibly can to get them to move along. Please get into a taxi. You know, implore friends to take them. We beg you. Some people just refuse. They just flat out refuse. So there was... It was a bad feeling about Clarendon by the officers. It was a bad feeling about the way the owners and the managers saw the officers' response, which is, you're not helping us. You're not doing anything other than coming in and locking up our patrons. Why would we work with you?
Well, I'm sure you had community members who were wanting something to happen there. So I know that our listeners, there are agencies across this country who deal with college towns. They've got the college bars. But every area has its little nightlife scene area, whether it's even just a strip mall with a popular bar that everyone goes to. And so I know a lot of people can relate to what you're talking about. Officer fatigue, officers not even wanting to sign up for that overtime, having to do just response, not really doing anything proactive, simply reactive. So you say enough's enough. What's the first step?
So the first thing that I recognized was that we were simply, the way I saw it, were 21 and 22-year-olds were the last step of the ladder. It was the symptom. We were simply... we bring the wagon in, three people get arrested, they load them up, and we just repeat this time after time. I started looking at some of the projects that were going on worldwide, and the one that kept coming up was Best Bar None in the UK. This was a program that had been in place at this point for 11, 12 years, and it was a voluntary program. So I drew up a proposal and I said, we need to start making some inroads with the restaurants, with the managers and the staff. We have no dedicated resources. This does not fall into the community policing unit's mission. This needs to be a standalone position. And I brought that to Deputy Chief Penn, who at that point, you know, he was ready to listen to anything. He saw the value in it and allowed me to try it out for 6 months. So they pulled me off of the street, said, see what you can do.
And what was the basis behind that
so the
program?
The Best Bar None model is a voluntary accreditation model where businesses allow their staff to be trained in responsible alcohol service. Their responsible alcohol service, public safety expectations, they have some training in fake ID detection, and they put policies in place in their handbooks to receive this accreditation. So they have to go through the training, but they also have to have policies on the books. So either incorporated into their employee handbooks or as a standalone guide. In addition to that, because it was in the UK, it all falls under the Home Office. So they essentially have federal support. They also partner up with the distributors and distillers, and they had this huge awards banquet, and they would be promoted. The businesses would be promoted for being part of this safety scheme. And obviously, I saw that we couldn't partner up with distributors and distillers. It might be a conflict of interest, but we do have the Office of Economic Development in the county. We also have the Chamber of Commerce. Both are meant to, you know, promote businesses that are doing well. And I saw it as a perfect opportunity to allow businesses to be promoted by someone other than the police department. So I made just as many relationships in the beginning with the owners and managers. I wore them out. They were sick of me. I some 2-3 times a week even. I just wanted them to see that I was going to be a consistent person in their lives.
So let me stop you there. Let's talk about those owners and managers. When you bring in this idea about voluntary responsibility and take part in this training and, hey, let's clean up the streets, and that's their moneymaker.
Right.
That's their money-making crowd.
That's right.
And you're the police. How did that go over with them?
So it took a long time. It really did. I mean, this is not something that you can just put in place. You can't look at the toolkit and say, all right, well, you know, next week we're going to have an accreditation model in place. For the same time that it took me to build these relationships, which were 6 months to a year with the owners and managers, and I started putting things in place like training the security staff. So underage drinking was a huge problem. In the last 2 years, we've had over 2,000 fake IDs detected in Clarendon alone, and that's not by the cops.
That's Clarendon.
You're talking about a small area, a small number of restaurants, right, where concentrated drinking goes on, right, and nightlife. But just in this small area, over 2,000 fake IDs have been detected and turned into the police department. So we empower them. We empower them to take a stand. And what I'm constantly preaching with them is we will support and guide you. We want you to be the ones to say, we're not serving underage. We're not going to serve you when you're over intoxicated. We're not going to serve you if it's going to put our business at risk. So getting them to understand that, first of all, we're not coming in with enforcement first. We want you to understand that we care about your business. And further, if you put these safety methods in place, these standards, perhaps your business might be more economically viable. And that was the case that economic development and the chamber made for them. They're like, oh, well, at this point, if I just put some basic standards that I have none right now, we just wing it day to day. We just hope, you know, we're just going to be okay. None of my staff is required to have responsible alcohol service by the state. So we started talking, I started talking to them about reasonable effort. What are you going to do if? And they're like, well, you know, we've been bartenders for 30 years. We've been bartenders for 15 years. We know what to do. Oh, okay. Well, can you tell me what the acceptable identifications are in the state of Virginia? A driver's license. Okay, that's it? That's all you got? No, there's specific. There are specific IDs. And if you serve somebody who's underage and you didn't use one of the accepted IDs, that's an ABC violation against your business now. Just having a little bit of information can empower you to do the right thing. You can comply with the law, but guess what? You're going to be safer. So if you're doing things in a better way, you're going to need us less. You might need my attention specifically as the restaurant liaison officer, but you're going to have fewer calls for service. You're going to have fewer calls for service that require us to take action. So we've watched our contacts. I don't judge, and that was the other piece. I told them when the county board reviews your live entertainment permit, we're not going to hold calls for service against you anymore. Because what we want is a high level of engagement from you. We want you to call us and allow these officers. So I had to train all the nightlife officers as well in the expectations. This is what the businesses are going to be asking of you now. We have to go in to do ID checks when they pull them aside and say, officer, I need to come check this ID because we've identified something in this ID from our training that indicates that it's a fake ID. So those engagements, we look at the contacts. So for the year of 2018, we had over 19,000 police contacts down there between 9 p.m. and 3 a.m.
Again, in what block radius?
6 to 8 blocks.
19,000
police contacts. And that means a drunk walking down the street and you guide them into a cab or an Uber. Maybe that's breaking up a fight. Maybe that's an ID check. Maybe that's a walkthrough at the bar. There's so much work that we do that we never took credit for and, you know, didn't serve a purpose. So if we're going to have a relationship, this needs to be a mutually beneficial relationship. And that's what I've been trying to express to the owners and the managers and the staff. They all have my phone number. I'm here to help you. If it's 2 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, that's what I accepted when I took this job. You have to make yourself available. You have to allow them to get to know you as a person. And then you're starting off. I'm not coming in to judge you. I'm always going to be here to help you. If you have violations, they're going to be dealt with. I'm not going to play the gotcha game. I'm not going to come here and try to catch you doing things. If I walk into the restaurant and I see there's a violation, I'm going to say, Joe, the manager, I need you to take care of this. And they're going to go, Jim, of course we will.
If I was a business owner or manager listening to this, mm-hmm. and it seems like that's just the challenge, getting them to listen, because once you start talking and explaining this, this seems to be, to me, if I'm a bar owner or manager, this seems like a no-brainer.
It is no-brainer.
So we know the benefits for the bar owners and the managers. Once mm-hmm. you get them to listen, what was the benefit for the Arlington County Police Department?
We saw a drop in violence. That's what we saw. Alcohol-related violence has dropped. So we partnered up with, at the time when we started the MOU with Virginia Tech.
So you partnered with a local university?
We partnered with Virginia Tech to evaluate and conduct a social and economic impact study for us. What we wanted to see was the benefits to not only the community, the government, and the businesses. And those are essentially the three stakeholders, right? We all have equal parts in this. We all have equal footing. And that's the other piece that you talked about that earlier with the community. We have we went from four meetings, community meetings per year, which were required by the county board. I've gotten those down to two. And the reason being is community members are not showing up to these meetings anymore to complain. They're not talking about the drunk that's passed out in their bushes or trying to enter their home or urinating in public in front of, they're just not seeing, we're not seeing those issues anymore because we have such a high level of involvement. On the other side, I had to build these relationships with the county, with the fire marshal's office, public health, code enforcement, the site planners, everyone that issues, the county manager's office. None of these relationships existed. We all operated independently within our own little worlds. No one spoke to each other. Apparently, years ago, we used to do some sort of task force with ABC where we go out and write a bunch of summonses and violations. And the owners really appreciated that, I'm sure. But now we have a concerted effort to work together and make recommendations for the businesses. So we do a weekly, what we call the weekly ARI report. All activity goes to all the county agencies that had a vested interest in the restaurants. So if we walk in, and we have a little bit of training now, if I walk in and I see a contaminated kitchen, public health knows about it and they take action immediately. If I walk in and see egress issues, like the boxes loaded up in the back kitchen area where all that kitchen staff, if there's a fire or something bad that happens, they need to exit out of that door. Notoriously, it happens. Boxes are piled to the roof, and I'll come in and say, that's an egress issue, and I will just take care of it.
That sounds like it's making everything across the board better, right?
That's
so
right.
Before, if you saw the fire inspector coming, you got the boxes taken care of, but you didn't worry about it if you saw the police coming, because
right.
Why do I have to worry about fire code? Because it's the police officer.
That's right.
Now they see you, they're taking care of everything, which means a safer environment for everyone
right.
involved.
And because we've provided this training, so we have a group of ARI assessors, which are police officers and fire marshals, who have been cross-trained in each other's skill set. I am not a fire marshal. I am not going to go in and write a violation. However, I can see issues. If I walk in, I see the hood's not been inspected. You know, that's a classic issue that causes fires, right,
yeah.
within a restaurant. We've had three of them, I think, in the past year and a half, just in Clarendon alone, from hood fires.
I was going to say, hood fires, headline, everything
yep.
you're saying, these are all possible
right.
headline-grabbing
right.
events.
That's right.
Fires.
Yep, absolutely.
People getting underage drinking and driving, fatalities,
mm-hmm.
big fights. All of that is not the kind of news any kind of community wants. And here you have this really nice framework to
yep.
try and make it all better. So you did the hard work,
yeah.
the blood, sweat, and tears
yes.
to make this all come. I'm sure that there were bumps along the way.
Sure.
And it's modeled after this program in the UK, but you made it work for Arlington County. And we talked about this in the beginning. You are now sharing that knowledge.
That's right.
With the rest of the country.
So the same way that David Young from Best Bar None Canada shared with me all of their policies and standards, just the same way the national coordinator Mick McDonald from the UK shared, we felt we owed it. Chief Jay Farr said, we are going to pay this forward. And I firmly believe that if we need to make this available to other jurisdictions, if they have a nightlife or restaurant scene. And that was the thing. Like, we started in Clarendon. It was the Clarendon detail. We now have a nightlife detail in Ballston. We're staffing officers there. We now
Boston is another city in Arlington County.
That's right, another area of the county. And we have Crystal City as well, where Amazon just secured HQ2. Guess what? We are positive we're going to have a nightlife presence down there within the next 3 to 4 years. Well, we know how to deal with it now. We know what to expect from the businesses. And we're using Clarendon as we talk about the little birdie that flew away from the nest. Like, we don't worry about Clarendon the way we used to, because we know, because we have these connections, I don't have to make a weekly visit down there anymore. Sometimes I can go 2 weeks, but I'm constantly checking in with the owners, with the heads of security, with some of the bar managers. This cost, because they know me so well, that's allowed me to have a little bit of and putting them at arm's length because I trust them now. I trust that they're going to do the right thing. We have two businesses just in the past week have reached their one-year anniversary for their ARI accreditation. So putting the standards in place, that's what they had to do. They had to show us that they wrote policies to meet our standards. They have to allow us to come in and do an operational walkthrough to check all of the fire and public health codes. This is on top of their annual inspections. And then they had to allow us to come in and do a full two-hour training. That's the responsible alcohol service. We now have the Commonwealth Attorney's Office. Victim Witness Office gives them sexual assault intervention training. We have the Ask for Angela program, another UK import from Haley Child in the UK. We asked her, can we use your program?
That's
the, the patron safety program at Ask for Angela. Essentially, they put up posters, and if you're feeling uncomfortable, you're on a bad date, whatever it is that you need an out, you're being harassed, you're having a domestic, whatever it is, you can walk up to staff and say, is Angela working? That's their cue to bring you into the back and say, what do you need? What can we do? Where can we get you? Is it a cab? Is it the police? What is it? So to have the relationships in place has sprouted so many other initiatives. We're on right on the heels of, oh, that's right, the CPR training as well. That's another one. So we have Hands to Heart, which is a partnership between VHC, Virginia Hospital Center, and our fire department. So in this two-hour training, they get all the alcohol liability training from us. They get CPR, and that's already been, it's hands-only CPR. They literally learn it in 10 minutes, and we have staff who have already used it, and then we have the sexual assault intervention training.
In 2 hours.
In 2 hours.
They walk out that empowered.
That's right, and this is not a check-the-box kind of day. We want you to change your behavior, starting from your first shift. So we have restaurants, the smallest of restaurants, who have a staff of 5 to 6. Their liability is just the same as a restaurant that has a staff of 30 and has, you know, 1,500 people that come in the door. Maybe they only have 60 people that come in the door, but their liability is the same. So this program is scalable. That's the beauty of it. So if you're Chipotle even, you're serving alcohol, you can benefit from this.
How do you get accredited? Who does the accrediting? It's all Arlington County Police.
So it's Arlington County Police and the Fire Marshal's Office and Deputy Fire Marshals that are trained as Arlington Restaurant Initiative assessors. They will get the request either from the restaurant or we get referrals. We get referrals from management at Ballston Quarter. So Ballston Quarter is where Ballston Mall used to be. They went through a full reno and they have this huge food hall now and a lot of restaurants, and they really want to be with the next Clarendon. So they're recommending as part of their introductory packet that here's the ARI program. We have our ABC agents are making recommendations. The ABC agents that work in Arlington are saying, hey, we just did this inspection. Do you know about ARI? And they're handing out pamphlets and cards for us.
We know that the law enforcement side of this loves this. Less violence. You're no longer worried about certain locations as you used to be. We know that we've got the buy-in now from the business side of it, the managers, the owners. What about the people that go there and drink and hang out and eat, the patrons?
Yeah.
Do they like it?
They do. And how do we know that? Well, we have we do a lot of outreach with this unit. On August 29th of this year, we're going to be having an outreach event called Conversation with a Cop. And what we do is we visit two ARI, Arlington Restaurant Initiative accredited restaurants, and we go and speak to the people during happy hour. And we have a list. So the ARI assessors have a list of questions that we want to know. Do you feel safe in Clarendon? Do you visit nightlife? What is your opinion of the restaurants that are accredited? What is your opinion of the staff? What is your opinion of the security staff? What is your opinion of the officers? Are there things that could be done better? So we want to hear all that. And when we started doing this, we used to hear a lot of, why are there so many officers working?
I was wondering, are you clearing rooms when you walk into a bar?
Yeah. Why are so many officers working the Clarendon area? I told you we went from 20. We now operate Clarendon with 8 officers. We have 2 in Ballston and one supervisor. So the and like I said, I'm not going to be budgeted any more money at this point to continue to grow this. I hope we would, but we're going to have to make do with what we have. So I have 12 spots I can fill, 1 supervisor and 11 officers. We're going to start pulling from that, from the Clarendon detail to put them down in Crystal City once that gets going. And we went from, why are there so many officers, to, of course the police are here. We are counted on. When we're not there, I start getting calls and texts from owners saying, your guys aren't here. So we have some guys who work, perhaps they're working evening shift, 1 to 11. They'll work a half shift for the nightlife detail. And maybe they were on a late call or something happened, and they got there a little late. So the owners depend on us so much, the patrons depend on us, because, again, we provided a level of training to the officers that says we want engagement. If somebody wants to come over and shake your hand, shake their hand. They want a fist bump. They want a picture with you. As long as it's not inappropriate, have at it. Well, and there's that, no harm in this.
In this day and age, yeah. With tensions the way they yeah. are, and yep. as you know, the negative sort of image that law enforcement yep. often yep. faces on a day-to-day basis, and the challenges in erasing that disconnect between community and law enforcement, that sounds amazing.
It's so easy to do. It costs us nothing. Right. And we have one officer who has spent his career. He was detail oriented. Let's just put it that way. He knew how to write a summons. He knew how to write a ticket. He routinely works the Clarendon detail that has become the nightlife detail, and very emotionless. Yeah. And I watched somebody come over and ask him for a hug, and they got a hug. I almost fell
over.
Did
you almost fall
over? I almost fell over. How I didn't have my phone out, I don't know. But like, those are the moments, and I turned and looked at him. I'm like, I can't believe you. I can't believe you. What did you just do? That's amazing.
So, I mean, there's so many markers here that I know that there are law enforcement out there listening to this and saying, I want that. Where can they learn about this toolkit?
Thanks for asking. So the toolkit will be available through the cops office. We will also have all of our standards, all of our resources, all of the research that I did to put many of these programs in place are going to be available on our webpage as well. So through the Arlington County Police Department. So under the community outreach or community resources section, the Arlington Restaurant Initiative can be found, as well as our Sober Ride program. That we have with the Washington Regional Alcohol Program, RAP, and their partner, Lyft. So we have the Sober-Ride car. We include that in all our outreach events, which is a 2004 BMW, and it was wrapped in pink colors of Lyft, and it gets a lot of attention. They outfitted it with the lights and the whole bit. So we bring this out to community. We're bringing it to the county fair here in the next week. Go out to nightlife. We do the outreach events before people get intoxicated on some of the Sober Ride events on St. Patrick's Day, Cinco de Mayo, July 4th. It's a way for us to engage with this community before they become intoxicated later in the night. And we want them to remember that, here, we're just trying to help you. We just want to be here to help you when, you know, things go bad at the end of the night.
Do you have a great story that you wouldn't have expected when you started along this journey?
Yeah, so building relationships with owners takes time. I had one particular owner who the starting point has always been no matter what I did. And he flat out told me, he's very honest, you have to give him that you're the government and I don't care what you're selling. It could be the best thing possible for me. I'm not going to do it. And my staff's not going to do it. So take that. And the one thing I learned, I've been very lucky in this relationship-based approach, is letting go of the rope. I do not get discouraged. I just don't take no for an answer. I wear them out. I really do. And that's what I did with him. And he told me, you're gonna be gone in 6 months like everyone else before you, or 2 years, you'll be replaced or you'll be on. Here I am, you know, 3.5 years later. I plan on retiring in the next couple of years, so I'm going to be here 5-6 years. That's kind of extraordinary in their eyes. And so he's not an active member of ARI. However, he's allowed his entire staff to do the training. He's incorporated the standards. He said he'll never check a fake ID from any of his patrons or allow any of his staff to do that. Yet when we come around to collect any of the fake IDs from the previous week that have been collected, he has fake IDs. So he is participating, right? He's participating in all the tenets of the program, but guess what he doesn't have on the front of his door? He
just
doesn't have a sticker.
He doesn't have
a
sticker.
All right, is that a win? In my eyes, it is. I don't need him to be, he doesn't want to be recognized in this program. For whatever reason, I don't have to understand it, but I respect it. right? And once you can stop trying to control, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I knew from day one I couldn't force my will on this person. And that's what I've learned. I don't force my will on anyone. You want to show me that? I've had owners kick me out of their restaurant. Show me out the door. I have no legal reason to be there. So you want me to leave, I'll leave. But I'm going to come knock on the door tomorrow. And then they realize that, oh, because I never start with I'm Corporal Mastoris or I'm MPO Mastoris. I'm Jim. How you doing? Nice to meet you. Can I have just a few minutes of your time? Let's have a conversation. I'm here to help you.
You mentioned ABC. What is ABC for our listeners?
Sure. It's the Virginia Alcohol Beverage Control Authority. They're the agency that regulates and distributes all the alcohol in here in the state. So you have to obtain an ABC license to serve as a license holder for on-premise and off-premise, as well as special events.
So the business owners are really invested in keeping their ABC licenses.
That's their bread and butter. Without that ABC license, then they're McDonald's. So, yeah.
All of this sounds truly fantastic. And I know that there are going to be people chomping at the bit to learn more about the Arlington Restaurant Initiative. So let's get them to the right places. Where can our listeners find out more about ARI?
Sure. So all our standards, all our resource guides, and you can find out more about our partnerships through the Arlington Police webpage. And that is www.police.arlingtonva.us. So that's police.arlingtonva.us. And if you look under the Crime Prevention and Safety Programs tab, you'll see all the safety programs that we have, including the Arlington Restaurant Initiative that I spoke about today, as well as the Sober Ride program through RAP.
And Sober Ride it's for people to get safe rides home if they're intoxicated.
That's exactly right. That's right. That's available throughout the entire D.C. metro region.
And our listeners can also, because you've partnered with COPS, access the Arlington Restaurant Initiative Toolkit at the COPS office website. And if anybody wants to actually reach out to you directly, beyond just reading about the resources on the COPS website under the toolkit or the web address that you just gave us, how can they speak directly to someone involved with the program?
Sure. So on our webpage, we do have an inbox, and that's ARI Restaurant at arlingtonva.us. That's ARIRESTAURANT at ARLINGTONVA.us.
Well, I think you should expect many emails coming your way.
We'd
because
be happy to.
This has been a phenomenal time speaking with you. I think this is a really exciting program, and I think there's going to be a lot of interest about this from across the country. We have been speaking with Master Police Officer Demetrius Mastoris of the Arlington County Police Department
in
Virginia.
Right. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for joining us, and thank you for listening to The Beat.
The Beat is brought to you by the United States Department of Justice's COPS Office. The COPS Office helps to keep our nation's communities safe by giving grants to law enforcement agencies, developing community policing publications, developing partnerships, and solving problems. If you have comments or suggestions, please email our response center at askcopsrc@usdoj.gov or check out our social media on Facebook, www.facebook.com/DOJ Cops. On YouTube, www.youtube.com/C/DOJ Cops Office, or on Twitter @Cops Office. Our website is www.cops.usdoj.gov. The opinions contained herein are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official position or policies of the U.S. Department of Justice. References to specific agencies, companies, products, or services should not be considered an endorsement by the authors or the U.S. Department of Justice. Rather, the references are illustrations to supplement discussion of the issues.